Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Tuesday, July 25th, 2023. I'm Mike Adams, and thank you for joining me, and thank you for your feedback following yesterday's podcast, where I was talking about how I nearly had my finger cut off. And, you know, just as I had intended, my healing journey helped inspire a lot of people, and I appreciate all your positive feedback, and I think this is exactly what I was hoping for, that maybe somebody out there who had given up hope about healing from an injury of some kind would hear that podcast and think, wow, you know what? The body does have a miraculous healing capability. So let's go with it. All right. I've got a major, well, actually two major announcements to share with you today that are pretty amazing news about decentralized publishing. So the first is an update for Brighteon.com users, and I'm going to segment this so that we can send this out separately to the Brighteon.com users, but it's of interest to everyone. So here we go. This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, with some good news and a special message, an update for all Brighteon.com users and content creators. We have, as you know, we have recently added tipping systems in cryptocurrency. And of course, we're focused on privacy coins. And previously, we had allowed content creators to receive tips in both Monero and then also Epic Cash. And now we're happy to announce that we have added two additional privacy coins to the tipping system. This is probably live by the time you hear this, although it may take another half day or so, but it should be live shortly here. And the two coins that we have added so that you can receive tips are Beam and Firo. And Firo is spelled F-I-R-O. And so what this means is that you, as a content creator, that is someone who uploads videos, you've got a video channel on Brighteon, you can now go into your dashboard and click on, I think it's settings, and then on the left-hand side is the crypto wallet entries. And what you can do is you can enter your receive addresses for those four crypto coins. Again, Monero, Epic Cash, Beam, and Firo. That's what we're currently supporting. And then when you do that, then beneath your videos, there will appear a tip crypto button that viewers can use, that end users can use, and they can then send you tips in those crypto accounts, and you receive 100% of those tips. We don't keep any of it. We don't even see it. We have no idea what tips are happening. Doesn't go through us, no log files on our servers, etc. So you can receive crypto tips, now four different types of crypto on our platform, Brighteon.com. A couple things to keep in mind, if you're going to receive tips on Beam, you want to use what's called the public offline address, because Beam is based on the Mimblewimble blockchain, and so is Epic Cash. And on Mimblewimble, the wallets both have to be open, the sending wallet and the receiving wallet. And if they're not both open and talking to each other, then that transaction doesn't go through. But what Beam offers is an offline address, which uses the Lelantis zero knowledge system that Firo uses, by the way. I don't want to get too technical, but the point is, if you have a Beam wallet, and you can get one at beam.mw, which is Mimblewimble, go to beam.mw, click on settings, and then click on utilities, and then there it says show public offline address. That's the address that you want to use for Brighteon.com. In Firo, you can use any address. In Monero, you can use any address. And in Epic Cash, you can use the standard receive address, although, again, in Epic Cash, the wallets have to be online in order for that to go through. The safest way to receive tips, actually, is using Monero and Firo currently, because both of those are built around offline systems that don't require people to be online. And again, Beam has an offline mode, but not everybody can easily find that address, let's say. So the simplest thing is just use Monero or Firo. But the bottom line is, as a content creator, you can now tell your viewers, hey, support this channel, support my work, send me a tip in Monero, or send me a tip in Firo, or whatever. and tell them just click on the tip crypto button at the bottom of the video and send me a little bit of crypto. And then you can also test this yourself, and you can also confirm that you are receiving 100% of the crypto. It's very easy to do that. Just acquire some Monero. And I think the website for that is getmonero.org. That's M-O-N-E-R-O, getmonero.org. And then just acquire some Monero. I can't go into all the details here right now on this podcast about how to do that, but it's fairly simple to acquire. And then send yourself a tip through brighteon.com. Just use that, click on the tip crypto and scan the QR code, send yourself some number that you will recognize, like 0.1234 or whatever. And then you watch as it all comes through and it gets deposited in your own wallet. And we're not in the middle. We have nothing to do with it. So that's an awesome new feature. It allows you to receive crypto tips. And then what's coming is that at the Health Ranger store, healthrangerstore.com, and also brighteonstore.com, we're going to be accepting all of these cryptos as, well, payment, or you could say an exchange for the commodities that we offer, which are, you know, storable organic food and superfoods and nutrients and all kinds of things, right? Personal care products. So you'll be able to actually spend crypto in our store as soon as we get that part done. And we intend to support all the cryptos that we are supporting as a tipping system. So our crypto ecosystem is continuing to build out, and you should expect to see more and more crypto coins accepted at both the store and the tipping system. So keep rocking on the content, and we will keep enabling crypto to help you have the most diverse private way to receive cryptocurrency tips from users who enjoy your content. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. All right, continuing with Brighteon broadcast news. So yeah, that was the message then for Brighteon content creators. Now I have a new major announcement to share with all of you and also with all of our hosts on Brighteon.tv. This is a really powerful message. This is a breakthrough, and I'm going to give you that right now. And so that's going to be a standalone recording also for the Brighteon.tv hosts. So here we go. All right, this is Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com, with a very special bombshell message, a major breakthrough that we're announcing for all content creators, especially those on Brighteon.tv and BrighteonRadio.com. But this is also a message for everyone who enjoys that content and who wants to live in a world free of censorship. We have just completed the engineering and the rolling out of a peer-to-peer decentralized version of Brighteon.com that is impossible to censor, and it is built on a platform that is itself a decentralized content distribution platform called Qortal. That's spelled Q-O-R-T-A-L, Qortal. It's just like the word portal, but instead of a P, there's a Q. And so over the last several weeks, with the help of Jason Crow and his team from Qortal, we have essentially ported Brighteon over to the Qortal network, and it is live and it is active right now. And you can see it, and I'm going to give you instructions right now of how to view it. There are a couple of caveats. Right now, it's only currently ingesting two channels off of Brighteon.com. That is the Brighteon TV channel, which of course has dozens of videos each day. And then also my channel, HR Report, Health Ranger Report, just because I wanted to try it with these two channels in case something went wrong. And so far it's working great, and we intend to expand it to other channels. But you as a Brighteon TV host, or a Brighteon TV viewer, or just a fan of Brighteon.com, you now have a new way to access all the videos on Brighteon, even if the government seizes all of the Brighteon servers. Even if the government seizes the Brighteon.com domain name. I mean, we're talking about extreme censorship bulletproof status here. We're talking about a truly decentralized video content distribution system. and it's built and it's done. And there's even more exciting news, although I will show you how to tap into this right now. But the really exciting part of this is that even though we funded this project and, you know, we paid for it, we are giving away the source code as an open source project. There will be a source code distribution, I think, on GitHub that we're going to be announcing on this coming up soon, as soon as we have the code, I think, organized a little better. you know how writing code goes. We need to have it just a little more readable for other programmers, but once we have that in place, we're going to be releasing this as open source code, and that means that anybody out there can essentially borrow our code, copy and paste, change the name. You know how open source works. It's going to be on an open source license, so if you use our open source code, you got to also make your code open source. If it's based on our open source code, that's how it works. But we funded writing the code from scratch, and so we ask you to honor the open source philosophy. But you'll be able to have your own video content distribution system on Qortal relatively easily without having to reinvent all this code from scratch. And also the Qortal ecosystem, because it is a peer-to-peer decentralized system that runs across distributed nodes using its own interface. That's a browser-like interface, but it's not a browser. It's not like you don't have to run Chrome or Firefox or anything like that. You actually run the Qortal node on Windows or Mac or Linux. And then in that Qortal node, you can bring up now a version of Brighteon, which is called, by the way, Q Brighteon. Q being Qortal, because Qortal starts with a Q. So this is called Q Brighteon. And you can see it right now. So let me share with you how to get it and how to see this. This is going to be absolutely crucial for when probably nuclear war breaks out and martial law is declared and whatever is going on. We're going to be able to distribute urgent messages through Qortal. Okay, so Qortal is going to be the underground message system. And in addition to Brighteon and Brighteon videos, we're also going to have the Natural News website viewable through Qortal, ported as an app. And we're also going to do some other interesting things that I'll announce as they're closer to being ready. But if you download and install Qortal, you will have an emergency broadcast message receiving system. And the good news is that Qortal is free. Qortal's free to download, free to use. It's just free. Free as in beer. So go to Qortal.org. That's Qortal.org. Make a note to do this if you can't do it right this minute, but do it later. And then download the Windows Qortal UI if you're on Windows, or you can download it for Linux or Mac or Raspberry Pi. And then there are guides published on there. And on Linux, there's Debian and other varieties and so on. So you can download this, install it. And when it asks you to install the Qortal node, say yes. Install the node. And that will use your system to help add one more node to the global network of nodes to help pass traffic in and out, including bits and bytes of videos and whatever else. It's all encrypted. And this is how we create a giant global internet mesh network that's completely peer-to-peer, can't be censored, because there are no central servers. There's no DNS. There's no web domains. There are no specific IP addresses that this has to run on. So this is censorship proof. This is major breaking news that we have this available. So once you download and install Qortal, then what you need to do, this is very simple, open up a new tab inside the Qortal UI. And in that tab, you can choose what you want to see. There are things like wallets, because it supports different cryptocurrencies. There's a trading portal. There's a Q chat program where you can chat with other people. There's name registration where you can buy names. You know, you can buy your own name, John Smith, whatever. I already bought Health Ranger, so that's taken. Or you can open what's called Q apps. So you open the Q apps tab, and there, if you just search for Brighteon, you will find the Brighteon Q app. Just click download, and it downloads that app to your Qortal system, and then click open, and it opens up, And then forevermore, you have Brighteon working on Cordal, which is pretty darn cool. Now, here's what's happening right now. The Brighteon app on Cordal, which, again, it's completely censorship-proof, decentralized, it's currently ingesting all of the older videos from the years 2021 through 2023, I think. And so if you go there right now, you're going to see older videos from a year ago or 2 years ago. It's working. It's crunching away at videos. Seems like several each minute. And so it's going from oldest to newest, by the way. And so give it more time, and it'll be newer and newer and newer. And then at some point here, maybe a few days or a couple weeks from now, it'll be all the newest videos on top. And also, you can click on a channel name. So if you see videos there, and you click on the channel name that published the video, like Brighteon TV or Health Ranger Report, then that'll show you, it'll take you to that channel page where you can see all the videos from that channel. Also, there's a search function that does work. And when you click on a video to play it, I want you to understand what's happening here. When you click on a video to play it, first it says it's loading parts of the video, or it's actually downloading parts of the video. There's a download manager on the top right of the Cordal screen that's kind of flashing blue when it's downloading videos. It's fetching videos, as it says. So it has to fetch all the different chunks of this video. And then after it fetches them, it has to reassemble them. Well, the fetching right now is kind of slow because there are really no other nodes running right now that are parsing all these videos until more people are viewing the videos, which causes it to make copies of the videos across the nodes because it's a peer-to-peer decentralized system. For those of you who are programmers and coders, you know what I'm talking about. The point is that at first, this is going to be slow, but it's going to get faster as more people use it. That's the way peer-to-peer systems work. So have a little patience. Right now, it's proof of concept. It's a pilot program. It is very slow at the moment, but it's going to get faster. Also, we're installing more node hardware in order to be able to serve out the chunks of the videos a lot more quickly. And so the more people come online and start to use this, the faster it's going to get. So I encourage you to use it. And here's the other great news. If you have a video channel on Brighteon.com, then as we expand the channels that are going to be included in this, we will sooner or later get to your channel. And by the way, if you have a channel and you absolutely want your channel scanned as soon as possible and ingested into this Cordal system, let me know. And we'll get your channel in the next expansion list. Just let me know your channel name and we'll make that happen. So right now then, this is a decentralized system. And if something crazy were to happen tomorrow, like nuclear war, and if there were martial law declared, if there were, I don't know, executive orders, National Defense Authorization Act, whatever, and they started taking down websites, taking down DNS, then I would start immediately sending out messages and videos on Cordal, because this is the peer-to-peer decentralized system that I actually first described 11 years ago on the Alex Jones Show. It was in 2012, I believe, when I was on Alex's show, and I said, look, we have to build a decentralized peer-to-peer video emergency, you know, content distribution platform. And at that time, the technology just frankly did not exist. And I've been looking for tech to do this ever since then, and looking for project managers that could actually get it done. And so it took 11 years for that technology to become mature enough and affordable enough and reliable enough, and for people like Jason Crow to come along and actually build Cordal, upon which we can build these apps. And so Cordal, as a platform, by the way, I think is about to explode in popularity. I think Cordal, oh, by the way, it has its own coins. They're called Quartz, Q-O-R-T-S. And you can, I'm not sure exactly what Quartz do on the platform. You can use Quartz to buy names, I know that, but beyond that, I'm not sure what they do. I guess I'll ask Jason, because he's coming on. We're going to interview him again, and he's going to demo this whole thing. I'm going to ask him, what do these coins do? But anyway, there are coins called Quartz, and then there's a chat system, And then now there's Q Brighton, and there are various Q apps that other people have published and so on. So this is an ecosystem that I think is going to explode in popularity. And I've already had conversations with now two other groups that want to use Qortal as the messaging and content distribution backbone for their own groups. One of them is a PMA, Private Membership Association. And so they want to be able to distribute content to members of the PMA without going through any kind of traditional systems such as email or, you know, signal texting or whatever, because, you know, email is all harvested by the NSA, obviously. And, you know, phone text is all harvested by the NSA. Well, on Qortal, it's all decentralized. And the data that's being passed back and forth is all encrypted. And you can join Qortal and you can run it without any KYC, which means you don't need to give up your phone number, your ID, your name, anything. In fact, you can run it on a VPN and you can just use some IP address from somewhere else halfway around the world if you want. It doesn't matter. So Qortal is kind of the information distribution underground railroad. And it's going to be used by more and more organizations who want to have their own, you know, bulletproof, censorship-proof sort of private messaging apps, content distribution, things like that. And again, the more people run the nodes, the stronger the network gets. So if you don't yet know about Qortal, oh, and I have to thank Sayer G from GreenMed Info for introducing me to Qortal. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have known about it. But if you want to start using Qortal, just download it, install it. It's free. Just run it, run the node. And the more people run the nodes, the stronger the whole thing gets. And we're going to keep building apps on it. And we're going to open source those apps as well, because this is how we are contributing to the communities to help create a better world for freedom, for privacy, liberty, content distribution, resistance against censorship, all these things. This is kind of like a Web 3.0 project, and no government in the world can shut this down. No one. Isn't that fascinating? So the solution is already here. It's called Qortal. Now, on my show, Decentralize.tv, we are interviewing Jason Crow again and other leaders of other projects that are focused on decentralization as well as privacy, including private currency, private money, you know, private digital money, as well as content distribution systems and also distributed or decentralized food production systems and things like that. So be sure to check out the show. Decentralize.tv is the website if you want to watch the show. And know that the technology that we are putting together or talking about on the show is tech that we are implementing on Brighteon.tv and Brighteon.com to help your content, your videos, be uncensorable and immutable. So from this point forward, everything that you publish on Brighteon.tv or Brighteon.com, once those channels are ingested, it's going to be immutable and it will be forever on the blockchain of Qortal, by the way. Cool. All right. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here of Brighteon.com. Take care. Okay, continuing with other news. Now, you know, yesterday we were talking about how India was banning rice exports, and I said that there was a panic to purchase rice in many areas of the world, especially in parts of Asia. Today, then, a story comes out from the UK Daily Mail. India's rice export ban triggers panic buying at US supermarkets, sparking costs of 20-pound bag to soar from $16 to almost $50. Folks, that's about a tripling of the cost of rice overnight. Talk about food inflation. 300% overnight, you know, roughly, give or take. The price of a 20-pound bag surged from $16 to almost $50 in some stores. Videos and reports shared on social media over the weekend show Indian Americans standing in long lines or panic buying rice in Texas, Michigan, New Jersey, Alabama, Ohio, Illinois, and California. Some stores have hiked the price of a 20-pound bag to $46.99 and have started money-making schemes to capitalize on the panic, according to Business Line. Jeez. Yeah, and there's some photos here of panic buying in Dallas and other places. People are climbing the pallet racks to get the rice off the top shelves. I mean, oh my gosh. One store in Mason, Ohio is rationing the grain to one 20-pound bag per person, which costs $24. So there you go. Rationing has kicked in. What did I say? I mean, it was like a couple weeks ago. I said, these things are going to happen. Rationing was one of them, and here we go. The story says that rice is a staple for more than 3 billion people, and nearly 90% of the crop is produced in Asia. But heavy rain in the north of India has damaged newly planted crops. Okay. So, again, geoengineering like we talked about yesterday. But this is already being felt in the United States. Now, I do want to assure you that we have not raised our prices at all on the Ranger buckets, which do contain certified organic lab-tested rice, by the way, because rice sometimes has high arsenic in it. So, of course, we test for arsenic and other metals. You know, because, look, a lot of rice is grown in polluted, dirty water. Let's just be honest. It's basically the runoff of Chinese factories sometimes, right? So that's why you get a lot of heavy metals in rice sometimes. You can get lead as well. But we test our rice, and it's all certified organic, and it's part of the Ranger buckets, which have been selling briskly the last few days, but we're not sold out yet because we produce so much, anticipating exactly this kind of thing, by the way. So we have rice and many other things in our Ranger buckets, and if you want to support us, just shop at healthrangerstore.com, and we won't charge you 300% more than we did yesterday, by the way. It's exactly the same price. Not to say that it won't go up over time, because at some point, we're going to have to buy more rice, too. You know, we're going to have to buy more wheat. We're going to have to buy all these things that are running out. I talked about this yesterday. Wheat shortage because of the situation in the Black Sea, the port of Odessa, Ukraine, Russia. Corn shortage because of geoengineering over North America, causing droughts and crop failures all the way through the Midwest. And also problems with growing soy and other crops. So, I mean, think about every crop that is a staple in the world. Rice, wheat, corn, soy, all of them being devastated in one way or another, mostly due to geoengineering events. So things are about to get interesting, and the rationing has now begun in the United States, at least in certain stores, and it will simply spread. So everything that I've told you about the food, the famine that's coming, the starvation, everything that Michael Yon warned about, you know, famine, lack of fertilizer, global starvation, scarcity, all that stuff, it's all coming true. It's all real. Pay attention, you know, get prepared and grow some food if you can. Now, a couple other program notes here. I don't have an interview for you today for this episode. However, I have so many interviews done that are bombshells. One of them with Steve Quayle that we recorded last week that's being readied and we're adding B-roll and an intro and things like that. That's going to be released this week. The interview for Decentralized.tv with Beam, Alex Romanov, that went live yesterday, so you can find that at decentralized.tv. That's a fascinating interview if you're into private digital money and smart contracts and just privacy-oriented projects. That's a fascinating interview. We've got another Decentralized TV interview coming up this week that is about low-energy nuclear reactions. That's right, cold fusion. Talk about decentralization. This tech will change the world. And in fact, you know, some people have been skeptical about the existence of this technology. And I don't know why people have such a hard time believing it. They're just brainwashed, you know, by the establishment. So they, I don't know. People aren't very good thinkers. Most people are just sheeple and followers. So I actually wanted to show you just a little snippet of video from the ICCF 24 Solid State Energy Summit, which was about 11 months ago. And there's a presentation there. Again, the event's called ICCF 24. Presentation by Benjamin Barrows. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And it's called New U.S. Army Low-Energy Nuclear Reaction Replication Efforts, the HIVER Co-Deposition and Gas Loading Experiments. And this is a man trained as a physicist who works for the U.S. Army. And he's actually been funded by the United States Army to investigate what used to be called cold fusion. And his job is to replicate the experiment of the low-energy nuclear reactions as a technology that the United States Army could use, obviously, to heat buildings and possibly to, you know, recharge batteries that might run vehicles one day and to generate electricity at remote bases. Obviously, there's all kinds of applications for this. So I just want to play for you a very short segment to show you that this is real, to show you that the United States Army is funding this, and to show you that there are very serious people who are talking about this. In fact, if you go through the other videos at ICCF24, you're going to find some fascinating people speaking about cold fusion technology. But let me just play a little clip for you here so that you understand that this is actually a real thing that is being developed into a essentially a limitless energy source. So check this out.
So I had a career in electrical engineering. We were finding unexploded bombs in the ground, you know, things for the Army. Okay, good stuff. But I was looking for an opportunity to come back to cold fusion. And several things changed in the last 2 years, or several years, as you are aware. The Google project, various agencies are now taking another look. When I was able to put that other agencies are taking a look into my proposal to internal Army funding, they were willing to take a look. They wanted to get on board. They didn't want to be left out. So that was good. There was a sea change. I was able to get some funding. The rest we've talked about. So that it was a good opportunity, and I'm able to come back to the field. So Oliver just talked about HIVER, and he and I are collaborating. I want to do a replication of HIVER, essentially. It's a little bit different. I'll show you a couple little differences, but essentially it's HIVER, which is, as Larry likes to put it, a replication of a replication going back many years. But I don't know, maybe eventually it'll get a high enough percentage of success to convince people.
So there you go. The United States Army is funding essentially cold fusion experiments. So let anybody who doesn't understand this, you know, I mean, I guess they're just living in the past or something. This is very real. Solid state energy. And if you go through and look at the other videos from that conference, ICCF24, you're going to find that one of the presentations is from Carl Page. And if Carl Page sounds familiar, that's because, of course, Larry Page is one of the co-founders of Google. And so Carl Page is, you know, part of the family and has a lot of money. And it turns out that Google has put some money and some interest into cold fusion as well. And that's what the previous speaker was talking about, Benjamin Barrows, there, when he said the Google project. So yeah, Google doesn't want to be left in the dark on this either. And they have, you know, billions of dollars. And of course, they're trying to put money where it will be multiplied and generate a return. So they're looking at all kinds of things, including cold fusion. So anyway, coming up towards the end of this week, maybe Thursday, likely Thursday, we will publish on decentralized.tv an interview with James Martinez, who is a longtime advocate of the low energy nuclear reactions technology, LENR, as it's called, or cold fusion. And he gives us an astonishing interview. It's a game-changing interview. It's going to be one of those must-see interviews that will forever alter your view of the future. And perhaps the present, I don't know. But my co-host, Todd Pittner, he was blown away because this is the first time he had even heard this stuff. I've been talking about this for quite a number of years and tracking it quite closely, which is why I was able to tell you about this years ago before all this ICCF conference stuff went public. Like, I knew Carl Page was part of this, you know, years ago, before you weren't even allowed to say that Carl Page was part of this. for a long time. You know, you weren't allowed to say the U.S. Army was looking at it or the U.S. Navy was looking at it. Nobody wanted you to say, oh, don't say that, you know. Now it's all on YouTube, okay? So that's how much this has changed. But I can tell you this is real, and I can tell you this is going to change the world, and I can tell you that this is one of the most important decentralization phenomena that you are ever going to see. It's the decentralization of energy production. It's going to make the power grid obsolete eventually. It's going to make a lot of things obsolete. It's going to make a lot of like heating oil obsolete. It's not going to immediately replace jet engines or combustion engines, but it could easily allow electric cars to recharge themselves when they are parked, by the way, once this tech is properly commercialized, which will take many years. This is not an overnight thing, but this is a very real thing. And it is something that's consistent with the laws of physics. And I feel sorry for people who don't know about this, don't know it's real, or people who are skeptics and like, oh, that couldn't possibly be true. If that were true, I would have heard about it. Bitch, you're hearing about it now. Don't you just want to say that to people sometimes? If that were true, I would have heard about it. You're hearing about it. I'm telling you, for God's sake. What they mean is, if it were true, they would have heard about it before you heard about it. That's doctors like to say that, you know, traditional doctors like, if it were true, I would have heard about it in my medical journals, not from the internet. It's a collection of tubes. Something like that. The system of tubes. With all kinds of tubes whizzing back and forth. Anyway, anybody who doesn't know that cold fusion is real is living in the past, and I feel sorry for them. I guess they need to get up to speed on the interwebs. The old M interwebs. You know, don't let them interwebs stump you. Okay. Now, there's one more thing I want to play for you, a little video snippet today that's just mind-blowing. Got to give you some commentary on this. I just couldn't believe it when I heard it because of the level of absolute stupidity and propaganda that's being pushed by certain individuals in relation to Russia and Ukraine. And in this particular video, which features guest Peter Zeihan, who's an author, but also a vaccine advocate and open borders guy. I mean, he really just kind of echoes the globalist talking points all the time. He was on a show called Valina's Talk. And as you're going to hear in this snippet, he says that if NATO met with Russia on the battlefield, that the losses to Russia would be 100-1 or even 1,000-1. He thinks that the Russian military is a mindless mob of incompetent morons that would be literally slaughtered. He uses the word slaughter, thinking that NATO and American troops would slaughter Russians 1,000-1. This is extraordinary to hear this level of delusion and propaganda coming out of somebody who's apparently is a parrot of the State Department. But listen to this yourself, because it's astonishing. Here we go.
Everyone got worried because if the Russians are able to subdue Ukraine, when they come to Poland, it's not going to be a fight. It's going to be a slaughter. NATO forces versus Russia, you know, you're talking about casualty ratios in excess of 100-1,000-1. I mean, it'll be a blowout. And in that scenario, the Russians will use nukes. So the decision was made early that any weapon system that the Ukrainians can prove that they can operate and maintain, very important detail, maintain, they can have. And so we've just been steadily ratcheting up the technical assistance in order to help them absorb as much as possible. F-16s are the newest one, and this will continue. Because as long as we keep the fight in Ukraine, then we don't have to worry about a general nuclear exchange over Poland or Romania or Latvia or now Finland. The risk moving forward, and I don't think we're going to reach this year, is let's say the Ukrainians are wildly successful and they manage to get the Russians out of all of their territory inside, including Crimea. That doesn't stop the war. The Russians will keep pushing until they can't. Now that they've paid the price for a war but gotten none of the benefits, yeah, they can't back down now. It would lead to government disintegration. Russia usually faces revolutions when it's defeated in a war, which means that Ukraine has to cross the border into Russia to break up the logistical capacity of the Russians to launch the war in the first place. And at a minimum, that means neutralizing Belgorod and Rostov-on-Don. And now if you've got Ukrainian forces crossing the border, all of a sudden the nuclear question comes back into play from a defensive point of view. So we are only at the very beginning of this conflict. I got to admit, I am shocked at how well the Ukrainians have done. I've never been so happy to be wrong. I was convinced that this was all going to be wrapped up in under a year.
Wow, do you buy any of that bullcrap that Peter Zihan is shoveling right there? This guy's more loony than listening to Antony Blinken or Victoria Nuland. I mean, where to begin with this? First of all, to think that Polish forces or NATO forces are going to slaughter Russia's professional soldiers that are the most experienced ground war force in the world right now, by the way, to think that NATO is going to slaughter the Russians 1,000 to 1, it's just purely delusional. There's no other word. I mean, fantasy land. This guy's living in fantasy land. But his fantasy continues. He thinks that Ukraine is going to defeat Russia, take back Crimea, and push Russia all the way back into Russia, and then that Ukraine will invade Russia and defeat Russia inside Russia? Are you kidding me? I mean, what planet, what delusional, psychopathic planet is this guy living on? You know, I normally don't criticize particular individuals, but when someone like this is pushing such obvious cow manure propaganda that is probably clearly handed to him as a script, you know, by the CIA or the State Department or somebody like that, when someone's shoveling this much BS, you got to call it out. And Michael Yon has called this guy out too for, you know, his open borders advocacy and all that nonsense. But this is clearly, you know, State Department prompted delusional thinking. And here's how we know that. If Western equipment and Western forces could defeat Russia, and Western training could defeat Russia, then Russia would already be defeated. And clearly that's not happening. The counteroffensive from Ukraine is stalled. It's not going anywhere. It hasn't broken through to Crimea. They haven't sent the Russians, home with their tail between their legs, so to speak. You know, the Russians are holding the lines that they've established there in the Donbass region for the most part. And frankly, Ukraine is running out of men. Not to say that the Ukrainian men aren't very courageous and brave and dedicated and passionate, but there's only so many of them. And even if the Ukrainian men were superhuman, well, they're running out of ammunition. They're running out of ammo from the West because there's only so much ammo that the West can send Ukraine. And frankly, the West has sent about as much as they have. And it's all been burned through or blown up in some cases. And the West has sent tanks, and the tanks get blown up by the Russians. Germany has sent tanks like Leopards, and they get blown up. For example, just recently, 15 Leopards and 20 Bradley fighting vehicles were destroyed in one day, according to Vladimir Putin. And this is data from, you know, the Russian, I guess, Ministry of War, whatever you want to call it. Now, you can question the data. But there are lots of videos and photos of Leopard tanks that have been destroyed and Bradleys that have been destroyed, and even footage of Russian helicopters shooting Western vehicles as they try to cross minefields that Russia has laid in Ukraine and so on. There's no shortage of drone strike footage taking out tracked vehicles from the West, whether they're Bradleys or Leopards or anything else. So, you know, all this equipment and munitions and artillery and so on from the West is not working. And F-16s are not going to work either. They're not going to change the outcome of this because Russia has the world's most advanced anti-air defense systems. In addition, Russia has the world's most advanced hypersonic missile systems. You know, Peter doesn't even recognize any of that, apparently. He doesn't understand that Russia has the most advanced hypersonic missiles. Russia has the most advanced nuclear missiles. Russia has the most advanced thermobaric bomb weapon systems, basically fuel air explosives as well. And the West has no defense against any of these things. And Russia has the Poseidon, underwater drones with 100 megaton warheads, by the way. And the West has no defense against any of that. So, again, what you often see from State Department propagandists is they project onto Russia what they themselves have as fears. So the projection here is that Russia is so weak and so helpless and so incompetent that they're going to have to resort to using nukes. Folks, that's the position of NATO and the United States. It's NATO that's so desperate and weak and has run out of equipment and run out of munitions that NATO may resort to using nukes. It's pure projection to try to push this onto Russia. I mean, the UK has essentially no remaining standing military whatsoever. I mean, even the UK's own military people say that in a war they would run out of ammo in, what, 7 days? Germany, similar situation. They've got no ammo. United States already sent almost all the ammo. Now, the US has a lot more tanks to throw into this, and maybe they're going to try one last mad dash of tanks across Russian minefields. And that's going to be one heck of a video of just dead, blown up M1 Abrams tanks all over littering the mined fields of Ukraine, smoking husks and bleeding men. And that's not going to be good for the U.S. weapons industry, you see, or a bunch of downed F-16s, by the way. And, you know, Russia and Medvedev have already said that if the West starts to launch F-16s at Russia to engage Russian forces with F-16s, Russia is simply going to assume that those F-16s are armed with nuclear weapons, because they can be. And Scott Ritter warned about this. And Russia is going to respond as if Russia is under a nuclear attack, which would mean that Russia will launch probably battlefield, you know, tactical nuclear weapons, hypersonic missiles with nuclear tips, not massive nuclear weapons, but unstoppable. And they would begin to take out military bases in places like Poland and perhaps other cities across, you know, other nations and cities across Western Europe. And that's a very real scenario. Now, for someone like Peter Zeihan to sit there and say that this would be a slaughter of Russians, 1,000 to 1, because the Russians, I guess he's saying the Russians don't know anything about war. It's so absurd. If anything, the United States military doesn't know anything about modern warfare. And here's why. Here's why you know this. The last several so-called wars that the U.S. fought, I mean, the most recent one, talk about Afghanistan and Syria, and then the evacuation from Kabul, leaving behind billions of dollars worth of equipment. You know, the U.S. turned tail and ran and fled, basically, I think, Al-Qaeda troops who are barely trained. I mean, the U.S. can't even defeat terrorists in the Middle East. And then in Desert Storm in the early 1990s, the U.S. was fighting a bunch of poorly equipped, poorly trained soldiers who couldn't wait to surrender. And the U.S. had air dominance, as you may recall, for weeks ahead of the ground campaign. I remember General Schwarzkopf talking about how we're grounding and pounding, we're dropping bombs, we're making sure the soldiers can't even sleep. They bombed the crap out of the Iraqi positions for at least a month, and then they just drove in with tanks across the open desert, and all the Iraqis just surrendered. And since then, NATO thinks that that's the way all wars are going to be won by the West. They think that NATO dominance is a given. They think that NATO will have air superiority, which they don't in Ukraine, obviously. And they think that no one else is capable of fighting NATO. And my goodness, they are wrong. And on top of that, at least in the early 1990s, the American soldier was a macho male killing machine. You know, fit, hardcore, full of courage, patriotic. Today, what's the American military today? You know, it pains me to say this because I know not everybody in the military is like this, and I do support our veterans, and you know, it's sad to say this, but let's be honest. Now the military has been turned into a transgender libtard experiment where it's more about, you know, gay helicopter crews and soldiers in panties and bras and high heels and having like gay and lesbian parties and drag shows on naval bases and drag queen story time, whatever. It's become a libtard festival of lunacy instead of a military of ready men and women who can actually fight and defend a nation. And also, by the way, probably partially because of that, military recruitment has fallen off a cliff. Nobody wants to join the military anymore. And so in the Navy, they're actually offering citizenship to illegal aliens who join the Navy and serve out their Navy term, whatever that is, 8 years or whatever, and then they get citizenship. Did you know that? It's true. So they actually have to now recruit illegal aliens because there aren't enough Americans who want to join the military. I wonder why. Maybe because they don't want to be indoctrinated with transgenderism or the trans cult under the libtard Pentagon. Now, anybody who thinks that a libtard-run military of the West is going to defeat the actual macho Russian army is beyond delusional. They're insane or stupid. Because the Russians, they don't focus on cross-dressing soldiers. They don't have transgenderism in the military. They train men to fight, which is what United States Marines used to be, let's say, in World War II, or even, you know, Korean War, and so on. Not anymore. Not the younger recruits these days. Not trying to denigrate the veterans who served our country, but you know what I'm talking about. Things have changed. Now it's become a libtard trans cult experiment, a social engineering experiment, where did you know that if you're a man in the military and you declare yourself to be a woman, you don't have to deploy to the front lines? That's come out in the news recently. You can just declare yourself to be a trans woman, and then you don't have to fight. Wow. What a weak, weak military philosophy. The Russians are laughing at America's military. And the Russians, because of the last, 16 months or whatever it's been, now are the most experienced active army in the world at ground combat and city combat and combat in towns and artillery and drones. And this is the other big factor. Russia has become an expert in the deployment of drones, which only costs, I don't know, maybe a few tens of thousands of dollars each, to take out multi-million dollar tanks and other pieces of equipment that the West deploys. So the West rolls in with a tank and Russia hits it with a drone. Well, the tank costs, 200 times what the drone costs, or whatever the numbers come out to be. And so Russia is able to spend a fraction of what the West spends on a drone that just blows the tracks off of a tank, rendering that tank useless. And then the immobile tank is just targeted with higher powered artillery. And if you're a tank and you can't mobilize, you're dead. It's just a steel coffin. And that's happening, by the way. So the West doesn't understand the power of this drone warfare. You know, these individual drones that are essentially kamikaze drones, that I think most of them were originally built in Iran, but now they're being built in Russia. And Russia has a factory coming online, I understand, that's going to be churning these out by the tens of thousands a month. Russia is going to engage in drone swarm warfare that will absolutely overwhelm any kind of anti-air defenses of the West. In fact, this kind of drone swarm warfare is going to allow Russia to take out naval ships, aircraft carriers. Actually, they could take out aircraft carriers right now with hypersonic missiles like the Kinzhal. They could just sink America's aircraft carriers at will. There's no defense against that. There's no defense against the hypersonic incoming missiles, nor against drone swarms. So NATO is fighting, Desert Storm in 1991. Russia is fighting modern warfare in 2023, with also the most modern electronic warfare, the most modern nuclear missiles, the most modern hypersonic missiles, the most modern air defense systems, the most modern nuclear missiles with multiple reentry vehicles that have evasive maneuvers. They're called hyperglide vehicles, by the way. Hypersonic glide vehicles that take evasive maneuvers and cannot be shot down by the defending nations. The West has none of this. Well, Peter Zeihan didn't mention any of this, did he? He just said somehow magically NATO's going to slaughter Russians 1,000 to 1. That's fantasy land. Fantasy land. If anything actually happens here, NATO forces are going to get freaking nuked before they can even deploy. They're going to get nuked on the tarmacs and at the military bases before they can even really engage Russia in Ukraine. And this idea that Ukraine is going to invade Russia and take out the Putin regime, take down Russia by invading Russia. You know, I mean, Hitler tried that. Yeah, the Nazis have done this before. They've attempted it and they failed in World War II. Because Russia will throw everything at an invading force in order to defend its, you know, its motherland. And I think, by the way, that one of the reasons why the West has not yet engaged Russia is because they know they would lose badly. They don't want the shame of having the M1 Abrams tanks all blown up all over littering the battlefields of Ukraine. Because, again, it wouldn't look good for the, you know, the military-industrial complex and their marketing brochures. Once Russia proves that the West's equipment just does not function in a modern battle scenario, then, well, how are they going to keep selling all their crap that doesn't work? Such as the Patriot missile systems, which barely work. And Russia's already destroyed numerous Patriot missile systems as well. So, well, look, Russia has spent the last 20 years actually innovating in the space, or more than 20 years, in the space of weapon systems and hypersonic missiles. America has spent the last 20 years engaged in corruption and lies and propaganda and cutting military budgets, but increasing military bribes and kickbacks and fraud. So the American military-industrial complex at this point, it's like a roach motel of a bunch of critters scurrying around in the dark and stuffing money into their pockets. They don't want the lights to come on because they don't want any transparency of the fact that their weapon systems don't work because it's all hype. It's just pure hype. So look, I hope that we de-escalate this, because if America engages Russia in Ukraine, it's going to be the most embarrassing defeat of the United States military in the history of this nation. That's a certainty at this point. You know, it's hard enough to fight a war at your own doorstep, but you have an advantage if it's the home field advantage, which Russia has. Russia's got supply chains that are right there. The United States has to push everything across Europe and across the ocean and get it there and stage it there and supply the fuel and supply the munitions. And America doesn't even have the munitions factories to even manufacture the munitions to keep up with just, let's say, the daily artillery firing by Russia, which, you know, some days is easily 10 to 20,000 rounds a day on certain days. America can't even manufacture that kind of supply for months, you know, if not in some cases more than a year, depending on the round. That's why they're firing cluster munitions over there, because they've run out of artillery, of regular artillery. The cluster stuff is all they have left. You understand? And to bring more munitions factories online in America is going to take 2 to 3 years if things go well. It's more like 5, 6, 7 years, by the way. this is done before then. So just be on the lookout for delusional propaganda of people who say that America is going to win everything and Russia is weak and useless and petty. No, it's not the case at all. If anything, America has become, you know, complacent, decadent, steeped in just disgusting displays of perversion and grooming and pedophilia at the highest levels, even throughout the military. The United States of America is no longer a country that has functional competence in national defense or the projection of power around the world. And frankly, if it wasn't for the Navy right now, I mean, no one would have any respect for America at all. The Navy is the last semi-functioning segment of the military. And there's a lot of dedicated men and women in the Navy, by the way. I'm not slamming the individuals who are part of it. They do their best. But the system is corrupt and corroded at the top. And they vaccinated all the soldiers to kill off some percentage of the military and to make the surviving members have more blood clots and myocarditis and strokes and heart attacks. And so this was a plan from the very top, Operation Warp Speed, which Trump was involved in, to, with the help of, you know, top military leaders, to slaughter the American military personnel. This is an act of treason against our military. And what did it do? It made America's military weaker and weaker and weaker. All on purpose, you see. So, if there is a face-off with Russia in Europe, it's going to be the biggest wake-up call in the history of military history itself. It's just, America's military leaders should pray that they don't engage with Russia, because it's better to walk away and talk tough and act like you could have whooped some ass, but walk away rather than to get your own ass actually whooped, as they say, by the people that you said were weak. I mean, remember when the West took out the Nord Stream pipeline and shut off Russia from the SWIFT system? The plan was to economically destroy Russia and bring Russia to her knees so that Putin would come begging for peace. And what did it actually cause, huh? Remember? Oh, the economic destruction of Western Europe and the strengthening of Russia's own economy and its currency and its exports, by the way. Everything the West tries to do to Russia ends up becoming a suicide mission for the West. The boomerang effect is very real, and Western Europe will never be the same. The industrial base of Germany, it's decimated. The industrial base of France, the industrial base of the United Kingdom, decimated. German industry will never recover to what it was. It's done. Much of Western Europe, I mean, it's just going to go downhill until it's, I don't know, an impoverished agrarian society for the most part. So who lost in this so far? Who lost is NATO countries. They did it to themselves because they're run by lunatics, like delusional lunatics who have no contact with reality. They have no idea what's actually happening in the world. That's the truth. The United States Empire is living out its last chapter. It is a dying, dark empire of corruption, collusion, propaganda, lies. And by the way, I think they're going to remove Biden real soon here. They've got to get Biden to resign, probably for health reasons, so that they can get somebody else in there to run against Trump in 2024. They know that Biden can't win. Even with all the ballot stuffing and cheating that they plan to do, they still need a stronger candidate. So watch for them to create a situation where Biden steps down for health reasons, and then all the criminal charges are dropped against him and Hunter and so on. And he'll get away scot-free like the Democrats always do, while they'll criminally prosecute Trump for nothing. Unbelievable. But that's what's going to go down. So get ready for turmoil ahead. And that reminds me to urge you to stay prepared. Consider the backup communications of our sponsor, Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. And they also offer, of course, off-grid solar generators with solar panels and charging stations, you know, with inverters and charge controllers and lithium batteries can help you function off-grid for quite some time. But the satellite phones are very useful. Obviously, they work anywhere in the world. They only need to see the sky to talk to the satellites. And even if the power grid is down or the cell towers are down, you can still send and receive phone calls. Or the Bivy sticks allow you to send and receive texts using satellites, even if the cell towers are down. So check all that out at SAT123.com. And again, if you want some storable food because of all the food inflation that's kicking in right now, the rice, the wheat, the corn, all of it. Get some backup storables, certified organic, lab-tested food and superfoods at healthrangerstore.com. We appreciate your support. Thank you for listening today. I'll be back with you tomorrow with some interesting interviews and more breaking news. Talk to you then. Take care and God bless America.